Welcome to Sports 56 Happy Hour with Johnny Radio. The first hour of the show is brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Now, here's your host, Johnny Radio himself, John Harden.
I thought it is back, what it is. No, I thought it is back, what it is. I gotta go. I don't wanna change, but you still can't lay it down. Paint it on, break it down, back it up.
Yo. Welcome into a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. It's a beautiful Tuesday. It is a Tuesday. That means it's a Views from the 22 Tuesday. We got Mo Schefter up in the house. We got NFL movement all over the place.
You may have Germ So True, too.
Germ So True, if he can break away, and he's been draft busted.
And he said that he got NFL and NBA playoff activity.
Uh-oh! I hope, man, I'm ready for a little NBA playoff activity because I've been loving it. Last night was beautiful for us.
Oh, that was great playoff action last night for certain.
Especially, you know, when you parlay like I did and hit everything. But then when you wake up after you win a couple grand and you realize Credit Karma sent you a notification in your 28-year credit history, you have a perfect payment history. But today they sent me a thing that said I was 120 days behind on a payment. I was like, what in the helly? What the helly? What the helly? So all my winnings went to pay all that I won last night, which I was very excited. I guess was a blessing in disguise because I had no idea that all the stuff that I like 3 months ago, remember when I lost my wallet? And I think you had it in your car for like a couple weeks.
That was your keys that was in my car.
Oh, man, who did I lose my wallet with and left it in their
car
for a couple weeks?
The wallet went with me. Was it Soup?
I think it was Matt Hale when he went out of town and he came back and it was in his car. But I canceled all my cards. Got new ones. Set everything up on auto pay. Forgot one small thing. And you know I don't answer telephones or read mail. But at least I won, so I can say, well, that bill's now paid, and I'm, I guess, really all caught back up. So it was a blessing. But we've been blessed with great basketball. We've been blessed with some great performances, I would say. And last night we saw one. Did you hear how the Timberwolves were talking about the Nuggets when that game was over?
No, I didn't.
Talking about, you know what, we decided just go back. Go after everybody. Go after Jokic. Go after Murray. Go after Gordon. Because they all suck at defending.
This is true.
Make them do what they cannot do, and none of them can defend.
None of them really want to get down on that end. They'll do it collectively, but when you have to really, like, get your, you know, roll your sleeves up and check up, ain't necessarily what their calling card is. Even with them having a championship, but you also look around at, you know, they had those guys that do that dirty work for them.
Nas was in there doing dirty work, grabbing rebounds like a madman.
Dante DiVincenzo is a key.
Dante DiVincenzo, what did he play, 31 minutes last night?
Yeah, and he's doing some of everything, scoring the basketball, playing great defensive
plays.
Dropped six threes.
Six dimes, seven boards,
he'll get up
in
the chest. He'll get up in the chest of a Jamal Murray,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, and won't leave.
Seven boards, too.
Yeah, you know, just a balanced breakfast, as we like to say, at 94 Feet of Life.
My man was, man, yeah, he dropped four threes. 6 for 9 from the field all night long. Not bad. 16 points. He was a team high plus 20 in the plus minus. Ant-Man was on the court pretty much the whole damn time. If he finds his 3-point stroke, Denver might be in trouble.
They got to be careful with that, though, because Ant still is recovering from that knee injury.
Yeah, 40 minutes last
night. Yeah, you know, he logging a lot early.
It was wild, though. I mean, you know, after Denver kind of put it on in that first game and they had just shot terrible and just all of them played pretty much bad basketball, I feel like if you watch the Denver Nuggets, they got out physical. Don't you? I mean, like, they just got...
That's what happened.
They just got bullied.
He got back, like I just mentioned about DiVincenzo getting in the man's chest.
Tim Hardaway, he was up in his business.
Yeah. Now, it's going to come back. When they go to Minnesota, you know, they'll make their job. This is the series where
this
you'll
see.
This
is the one I told you is the hardest one for me to pick because I trust in Ant.
You know why? Because in this series, the adjustments matter the most.
because it's like we can look at Philly and Boston, and Philly can do whatever kind of adjustments they want. Boston going to win that less than five.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? No less than five, rather. But with this one, game to game, it's going to be the adjustments, and they're going to matter. Also got to give props to Rudy Gobert, who was great last night.
Well, he had the best game. I thought he had his best game, actually, in game one. Just nobody else for the Minnesota Timberwolves showed up.
That's on the offensive end. But for what you need him to do, that was great last night.
Him and Nas, I thought, were very important.
Yeah.
Both of them combined, grabbing all the boards they did, playing physical down low.
Great defense, man. Dude, I think Jokic was like one of eight.
I mean, the first quarter scared the hell out of me. I ain't going to lie.
I mean, and that's NBA basketball.
That first quarter, and that's what I always say to myself.
It looked like it's going to run away, but it's some
breathe.
Marathon.
It's a long game. Things can look bad. I mean, they were down, what, 10? No, they were down 14.
They were down as many as 19 through the game.
Damn, you're right. And I never, ever, 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 ever faltered for some crazy-ass reason. I got lucky. That 39-second point quarter helped me out a lot, though, with my breathing and the way they ended that joint. But then you talk about the Knicks and the Hawks. Bro, I said this, and you didn't like it the other day. They needed to stick with Tibbs.
I'm going to tell you why they don't. But I know what you mean.
Because they just don't have that edge anymore.
But see, here's the thing with that. We're talking about a bunch of dudes that's like almost 30 years old.
I know he beats on you and leans on you and runs
you. You really need
that
to get up at this time of year?
Well, then why are they letting the Hawks do what they're doing? I mean, you had a 15-point fourth quarter, New York, in your house.
They couldn't score the ball. You know why? Atlanta was on lock. They checked up, yo. Jalen Brunson makes big shots, but when you got a bigger Nickeil Walker-Alexander chasing you, and you see how he picked his pocket clean. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then Dyson Daniels all over the place. He good for two steals a night. He had his two steals in the first 16 minutes of the game because he hit by parlay. So,
yeah.
But they just – in that series, it's going to be adjustments that matter, even though New York will win. But it's going to be adjustments that matter because Quinn Snyder is a mad scientist about this.
Yeah, he is. Quinn's always been a mad scientist.
Yeah, he's maximizing what he got, and then he got
by the way, Quinn also looks like he has a little tism.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little tism.
Just a little bit. You know, but he's got – when you look at the profile of C.J. McCollum, it will say hobbies include getting buckets. That's what he does.
Only problem is poor CJ. He and you had two small guards with him in Portland.
He was one of them.
That's what I'm saying. Right. But I mean, they were awesome. Except for you got to the postseason, then you throw in somebody.
Me, Greg,
like
and
Nickeil.
Eli talked about that this morning with CJ. Some of the underappreciated cats that we're seeing, especially now, kind of getting shine. And CJ was definitely one of them. And it's like, yeah, because he was always kind of the second fiddle with Dame or whatever the case may have been. But you know. He still could go roll out of bed and get you 25-30 any given night. And they checked up, man. They locked down in the fourth quarter. They stayed close for the most part through the first three. Yeah, they was up 12, but a lot of that was one possession, two possession game, you know, throughout the course of those first three quarters. And the fourth quarter, man, it just turned into the playoffs. Adjustments were made by the Hawks. They locked up. They took some stuff away. And you're going to need Karl Towns to be the dominant force in this series. He has to truly dominate it.
The problem with Cat is, man.
He's sometime.
Yeah, he's what you call.
He's sometime.
He was very what I would call WNBA.
Now, see, if you go in there, what WNBA player are you going with?
I'm just saying what I mean by this. I can watch. What did I tell you? The only way I can win in the WNBA is I don't watch and actually know anything about the basketball. I can see when a bunch of women are defeated and have like checked out and not in it.
You thought he was
watch
checked
Carl
out?
Anthony? No, he wasn't checked out. I'm saying, but on the games he is, when he ain't checked in and all he's doing is complaining to the officials and acting like a little whiny, come on. He's like the most demonstrative woman I've ever seen. He should have been a theater major.
Leave Dominicans alone, man. They're emotional.
He is emotional, by the way.
But, I mean, it's he got off to a slow start last night, as did Jalen Johnson. Because I was kind of looking for
Jalen Johnson, I thought, played pretty bad.
He was non-existent early. But the second half, he picked it up on both ends. He made some key plays.
What did
got
he,
some break started. I think he ended up with like 18 and 8 or whatever.
Damn, he did?
Yeah.
He was 0 for 3 from downtown. I know that.
All right. You know what I'm saying? Because I had him to get big combo numbers, but, you know, it just wasn't in the cards for him last night. But he did the little stuff, as well as Nickeil Walker-Alexander. They did the little stuff.
And they're the ones that won.
And that's the one.
Well, you know, Alexander Walker, it's all about defense. But yeah, it's about making Jalen Brunson 3 for 10.
I mean, and if that's going to take away from him getting his 20 a night like he been getting in the regular and
I'd rather have 9 or 10 points a night and just lock up Brunson.
But I'm saying, but if you got that and you going back home tied with home court advantage now in your favor, that's a win.
And they're going to keep leaving Josh Hart open at three, even though the weirdest thing about Josh Hart is
he will make them at some point.
I was going to say, it's one of the weirdest things ever. Like, this regular season, do you realize Josh Hart shot 41% from downtown? You realize that, right?
Yeah, because he's catching a lot of open
looks.
And
he's
catching them, like,
right in that corner.
Like, and it's coming to him straight It's coming straight like they're coming from the shooting machine.
He's shooting 16% from the three-point line in the postseason.
Yeah, because you got Dyson Daniels in his face.
True that.
Among others, you know. Quinn got those dudes dialed in, man. A lot of people didn't think that was going to be a competitive series. I'm like, nah, Atlanta's legit, y'all. They got scores. They can defend. Just a matter of putting it together. Not a lot of experience, you know, just CJ and, you know, a couple of others, but they got the pieces to make it fun. They're not going to win the series, I don't think, but they can make it interesting.
I mean, right now, the way this New York team is playing, I don't know.
You could say the same thing, like, it had the same vibe about Detroit going into tomorrow.
I mean,
okay,
well, listen.
You saw the holes exposed in game two.
When Cade Cunningham's not on the court, they have no option.
They do, it just didn't play well.
No, they don't.
They just didn't play well. They need a third option is really where they lack. And they probably are lacking shooting, even though they got Duncan Robinson and Kevin Huerter. But you can expose them. You can especially Duncan. Duncan's getting older. He can't really, you know, he wasn't no stealth defender like that, no way, but he can play within scheme.
What do you think about the Cavs?
I love what they're doing. Now, you know what? They might be a bigger problem than what people think.
I'm telling you, Mobley and Allen are a problem for a lot of teams.
And then you got your guards that's putting
you got
up
Harden,
58,
Mitchell,
60 a night.
Spidey, and dribble, 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 shoot.
And he ain't doing that.
No, he ain't.
You know what I'm saying? He actually playing within the confines of, you know, the offense and making smart plays. He's gotten older and wiser, but we're going to really see.
Dennis is old and wise. And
we're going to see if the wisdom is legit as we move through these rounds, though. Especially when they get in the next series, who they'll be matched up with. What are they, 4-5 in that series? That's 4-5.
6-7. 6-7. No.
But if they 4-5, they'll mean they'll see the winner of Detroit and Orlando, which will be another chess match.
Well, we're going to find out some interesting stuff because we got more action tonight, folks.
Another triple header.
I'll tell you one thing. Nuggets and Timberwolves, I don't care what they do. I think the Spurs right now are on a mission. And the Rockets and the Lakers, doesn't matter what they do, they're going to get killed by the Thunder. I mean, we are 100%, I feel, destined for a Spurs-Thunder showdown.
I think so.
And I also think, I feel like right now it's just the Celtics to lose over in the East.
I agree with that as well. I mean, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I think Joe Mazzulla's the best coach remaining in the playoffs. And it's really, I ain't going to say not that close because that'd be disrespectful to the other great coaches that's there. But
I feel like we're going to have a Cavs-Celtics Eastern Finals.
That would be fun. Because
you got the big boys down low with Mobley and the three-point shooting fools. Yeah,
they both made trades at the deadline
to
optimize what they got going on already. Yeah, two great coaches. Probably the best two coaches in the Eastern Conference, legit, with Atkinson and Mazzulla.
Yeah, you like Mazzulla.
Yeah, Mazzulla, that dude, man. He kind of crazy, man. Matter of fact, there's been rumored that he got tasered voluntarily in the offseason just because he wanted to feel it.
I've been tasered. It sucks.
But you weren't voluntary.
Nah,
you was acting the ass somewhere.
No, technically not.
Not that time.
No, they just, one of my friends thought it would be funny to test drive it. And I, for some reason.
Degenerate activity is what y'all were on.
Was like, dude, I want to see how bad it is. I mean, it ain't that bad.
But
it
you saw what Joe
bad.
Mazzulla had it's his coaching. That bad. You saw what his coaching staff did to the media when they played him and when they scrimmaged him that time. Beat him like 60-4. Like, why? Just to abuse the media. He ain't got nothing else to do. He's also the same man that thinks that fighting should be allowed in the NBA.
I mean, I watch hockey playoffs now because remember that I had that tip in the Calgary game that was like Gucci. Thank you, Lee.
They don't fight as much in the playoffs in hockey.
They were fighting in that one. The officials were breaking up a lot of it. But man, like that. The cool thing is about hockey is like they go and check each other into the wall. Two dudes get mad. One dude will literally right in front of the ref like throw a punch and hit dude in the mouth. And they'll put both of them in a box for 2 minutes and then let them back in.
They got a couple minutes. They chill. And they come back out. All sports should be able to do that. That's great discipline with hockey. I appreciate it.
The only thing you can't do is what they did to Kermit. You cannot wait for a man running and then basically Jack Tate they ass. Jack Tatum, I'm sorry. Jack Tatum they ass.
You can't go Jack Tatum. Not on
if
ice.
You don't know that you're a young buck, the safety for the Raiders was known for clotheslining folks, and he broke, Daryl Stingley.
Yeah.
Broke Daryl Stingley's neck. Never even apologized for it either.
I saw one where he crowned Earl Campbell, and Earl Campbell fell forward. That's how bad Earl Campbell was.
Yeah. And then the first time I ever saw Earl Campbell, by the way, like I said, when he was in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it messed you up.
It messed my head up. Is it like he was like, dude, this guy had thighs that were like, I mean, they like elephant's feet.
You know, he had his own line of Italian sausages.
No way.
Things like this thick, too, dog. They were super big. They were selling them in Walmart. They probably still got them.
Well, we got big NBA action again tonight. We got three more games.
Sweet.
Only thing, I was going to say.
Sweet.
The 76ers Celtics, the only thing you really got to think to yourself is like, damn,
you know,
14.5.
You know, in the last time the Sixers beat the Celtics in the playoffs, I think it was like 82 when the Boston Strangler, Andrew Toney, went for 39 and then went for 34 in like game 7. And got nicknamed the Boston Strangler by the Boston media because he was kicking their ass. But that's 82. My man Jared wouldn't even thought about an 82.
No.
I was just one when that happened. But I was probably in front of the TV watching, knowing me in my house. It was basketball on. I was there. Basketball house.
I was actually doing pretty good, man. I was looking good. I was like, you know, chilling. Trailblazers and the Spurs, though, another game that's just, are you going to lay the 11.5?
Hey, man, first, we have to mention the unanimous defensive player of the year.
Victor Wembanyama.
Yes, and this is the first of many, I'm sure. We have 3 4-time winners. Two of those 4-time winners are already in the Hall of Fame. The other one is still active. No the third one?
Let me guess. Hold on. Wait. We got a 3-time defensive player of the year that's playing
right now. We have 3 4-time winners of that award.
Dennis Rodman.
No.
No. Defensive player of the year.
One of them is dead.
One of them is dead. God, I suck at this game.
One of them is active.
So, Dre?
No.
No?
Dre only won one.
I know it's not. It better not be Rudy's French ass gave everybody COVID.
Rudy is the active one.
Good God.
Hey, last night.
It's also an award that Jaren Jackson Jr. won, so can you really take it serious?
Last night's performance, he validated it. He shut Joker down, man. I mean, we got to give him
that. They
just
kept going at Jokic, man.
I mean, hold on, man. How you going to hate on Jaren, man? Jaren won that thing when he was here, man. We got 2 Memphis Defensive Player of the World winners. We had him and Mark. And Mark wasn't even first team when he won.
No kidding. Now, I need help.
You know the other one.
That's active?
No, you got the active one. One of them is passed, and the other one is a recent induction to the Hall of Fame.
And one of them is Okay, what have I gotten right? Anything?
You got Rudy.
I got Rudy.
Mm-hmm. You got the active one. There's one more that's passed on, and you have one more that got in the Hall of Fame. If not last year, then maybe the year before. One of them was noted for his afro.
One of them noted? Oh, you mean Ben Wallace?
Yeah.
How did I not pick Ben? I thought for sure it was Ben, but then I also was thinking to myself.
He just got in the Hall like a year or two ago.
Damn, how did I not think of Ben Wallace?
And the deceased one is Dikembe.
Mutombo, waggle your freaking finger, bro.
And you have one who's won
the
award. I
feel like Dwight Howard, I was waiting for you to say he might be a switch hitter.
The lone winner of doing it three times in a row was Dwight. Dwight's the only one.
He did three times in a row with Orlando.
Right. So Wimby's going to probably crack both of those. He's gonna exceed
what shocks
four.
Me is Giannis only won one.
Yeah, I agree. Well, even more, me and Eli was talking
Alonzo
this morning.
Morning only won.
I don't, right.
How many?
He had to get two at least, right? I think so. I'll verify that one. But me and Eli was talking this morning. We were still shocked that Scottie never won one.
I know Gary Payton won one.
Gary Payton was the first guard to win one since Sidney Moncrief won, and Sidney was the first winner. Sidney won the first two, actually.
Hell, Evan Mobley, didn't he win last year?
Evan Mobley won last year. Really, Scotty Barnes could have been a great candidate this year, but I mean, but Wimby was Wimby. But Scotty was awesome this year.
Damn, how many Dre got? One or two?
Just one, but Dre got a couple of. Dre got a situation where he had more first place votes, but Kawhi had more total points.
I know Dennis had to win.
Dennis got two.
Okay.
Yeah, both of his were.
I mean, when you're rebounding like a maniac like he was.
I think both of his were in Detroit.
When you have the cojones to sleep with Madonna at that time.
And he had Carmen Electra.
That dude's body count between them two. And he's Eskimo brothers with almost every person in Hollywood.
And he went into the WWE Hall of Fame this past weekend.
Who did?
Dennis.
He was in the WWE.
No, but he was in the NWO.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you didn't know. Dennis skipped finals practice to go be on WCW Monday Nitro. I think that was in 97 or 98.
Let him do it.
Let him do what he do.
Let him do what he do.
He's going to come in. He's going to give me 15 boards. He's going to guard Karl Malone. That's simple.
Well, we got a lot of basketball to talk about today because, again, we got three games. Two of them, you know, could be bloodbaths with the Spurs and the Blazers, the Celtics and the 76ers. We'll talk about the spreads. The Rockets and the Lakers. Can the Rockets win without KD?
I don't like the chances without KD.
How can the Lakers win without Luka and a bunch of bums?
They got 41-year-old LeBron. And then DeAndre Ayton stopped playing like Warren Coolidge from the White Castle. He started hooping. He's actually out hooping Al Prince Sengun right now. So,
well, wait for Sengun to get back up and make Ayton look like a punk.
If he does. But then he still got Achimura next to him. And then Marcus Smart, Luke Kennard.
You think they're going to shoot 38% again?
I don't. But then KD ain't there. KD ain't shot under 50% in over a decade. So, but if KD there, it's cracking.
I will say one thing. LeBron running the point and basically being the dimes guy worked in the first game.
Yeah, because that's easy for him. That's something that he accustomed to doing, and then he got willing guys to do what the hell he going to ask them to do.
Well, we're going to talk a lot of basketball, but it's time to switch gears. We got to talk about the NFL. I got my man Mo Schefter on the other side. Don't y'all dare touch that dial. It's a Views from the 22 Tuesday right here on Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Or brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Here once again is Johnny Radio.
Yo, the tunes didn't come in, did they? And now your mic's not on, man.
It gave me an ad.
I know. I noticed. I'm sorry. We're cheap. Must have been the YouTube.
No, it's crazy. I got YouTube Premium. I don't even have ads, but I got to deal with ads at work.
Nah, pull yours up. We're going to use yours.
But then I was trying to find you to make sure that she was in the spot.
That is true. That is a good point, actually. I was talking and chatting out in the front, talking with Sid about the wonderful barbecue. Not barbecue. The 24th Annual Hot Wing Contest and Festival. We had a lot of fun last week in his house. Now we're having a lot of fun now because we got NBA playoffs. We got a draft coming up here on Thursday. And it's a Views from the 22 Tuesday with Mo Schefter. Mo information. Mo knowledge. And he knows Mo football than you. Mo Schefter, what's up today, brother? There we go. Got his player music in.
That's right. That's right. Hey, man, how blessed are we to be here today and talk football, gambling, basketball, life? It's going to be a beautiful show.
And Jay said that you coming in for a week next year to get ready for Wingfest, that we going to win this bad boy.
Yeah. You know, we got to get in the lab. We got to, you know, try out a few game plans and see what game plan, a.k.a. seasoning and rubs and sauces, will be entered into the competition.
I love that idea. Oh, I can't wait to get in the lab, too. In the future, man, next year, man, I can't wait, but I'm going to enjoy every day until then. Because, man, I'm Amen. A day-by-day kind of guy. Now, I got to bring up a couple things before we get to anything else. NFL buzz lately. We got a little free agency reshuffling going on. What do you think about some of these teams that are doing a couple quick hitters and quick moves?
Well, let's start with the big elephant in the room with Sexy Dexy and the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I don't want to get too ahead of myself because, you know, I don't trust that organization.
It's kind of hard to, bro.
Right. Right.
Like, did you yes, trust Marge Schott with the Reds?
No.
same thing. Just not, you know, Marge Schott's crazy ass.
But no, like, in all seriousness, I mean, I think it's a great, great trade for the Bengals, because very likely they were going to go with a defensive player. More than likely it was going to be one of those corners that we talked about. Any one of those four, in my opinion, has the potential to be very good. But you bring in Dexter Lawrence, he's still got the prime of his career ahead of him.
Is he better than Trey for them?
Is he better than Trey for them? Yes. That's a great question. Didn't even think about that. Yes.
He's a lot cheaper, I know that.
Yes. No offense to Trey, okay, but
he's a one-trick pony.
Right. Like Crosby disrupts all game. T.J.
Yes,
Watt disrupts all game. Trey Hendrickson
Miles
disrupts.
Garrett is a freak.
But Trey, we have now, granted, he's been injured and everything, but that's even more reason to say that this is a major, major upgrade. You got a defensive tackle who can play all spots on the interior of the line. He can even play two gap if you need him to play two gap.
Mm-hmm.
He can play all three downs.
You hook like him up with Jonathan Allen in the middle. I'd like that.
Correct. So he is, and who's another guy who was just as versatile when he was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's a little bit older now. So you bring in somebody who's going to immediately change the lives of your run defense.
And he makes your middle linebacker and your outside linebackers you know, depending on if they're in the 3-4, the 4-3, because they sometimes switch it up. It makes your linebacker's life a lot easier when those guards and centers, they ain't pulling around to get somebody else because they're dealing with a Jonathan Allen or a Dexter Lawrence or wherever they move him to the outside. I mean, when they switch him around.
Brother, look, I can tell you this. This is from my personal experience because I played defensive line. When you can make sure two guys are on you and they cannot come off of you.
Linebackers can fly around and fill holes, baby.
Right. They love it. They love it. Linebackers love that. Strong safeties love that. So the most immediate thing that comes to mind when it comes to the most significant signings that have happened recently, I would go with that. I would go with Will Anderson being extended by the Houston Texans. No brainer. I don't like Dontayvion Wicks being traded to the Eagles, but we'll talk about that in a second. And then lastly, shout out to a winning organization in Darien's 49ers for doing the common sense thing and finding a resolution with the grizzly bear, or the silverback, sorry, Mr. Trent Williams.
Yeah, dude, that dude is the strongest dude in the NFL, and that's like those guys are strong. I told you about my homie David, right?
Yes, yeah, of course. So David, yeah, of course.
51st greatest Giants in history, like when they did the top 100 Giants of all time, two-time Super Bowl champion, left tackle in the National Football League forever, strong guy. Me and three of my buddies, well, my wife wanted me to build a bed. You know what I'm talking about, like the where you garden in that joint? Not like you lay down and do a little bit of the little horizontal bomb, but a garden bed. So we got railroad ties. Do you know how heavy railroad ties are, bro?
Bro, yes.
Okay, so me and Matt and my other buddy, all three are carrying these. So it's three of us. And, man, we are struggling. David happens to pull up, and he gets out, and he's like, hey, what's up, fellas? And he just picks one up on the side and carries it like it's a sack of potatoes and then goes back there and sits down. I said, damn, how in the hell did you pick that up by yourself like it was nothing? He's like, dude, I used to work out with 840 pounds on the squat and 450 on the bench. I'm like, oh, okay.
And then, see, I thought the other answer he was going to give you because, so not to put my business out there, but I used to be involved in the FedEx community.
Oh.
And we carried a lot of heavy stuff.
Yup.
And what I learned, I actually used my offensive line things that I learned to help me lift heavy stuff because it's all about technique and leverage. That's it. So I could, like, literally, we could put a 200-pound box on my shoulders and I'd just walk with it, no problem. Technique and leverage.
And Trent Williams is the strongest SOB with great technique, does not let people put Brock Purdy on his back when he's playing. Brock Purdy is a totally different quarterback when Trent Williams is out of the line, if you haven't noticed.
100%.
Totally different. Is this offense with Mike Evans, Ricky Pearsall, who can take a bullet to the chest, and Christian Kirk with Christian McCaffrey in the backfield, with Trent Williams coming back, can this offense be enough if the defense can stay healthy? Like last year, everybody and their grandmother was injured.
Literally.
And that defense had, what, their seventh and eighth linebackers of the year in their one playoff game or something?
Yep. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Fred Warner's back, though, and he's a freak. Yes, he is. Dre Greenlaw can play some damn football. What do you think, though? Is Bosa ever going to get things back? Is this just where Bosa is at this age?
You know, what's funny is with what they have available to them, I would hope they find a way to sort of ease him in, maybe not play him the first couple weeks of the season. Not that he's not going to play, but try to, you know, tell him take it easy for a little bit. Because truthfully, this defense is revamped. They got Fred Warner back. They have depth in other positions. So it's not Nick Bosa or bust. And that's actually a good news for 49ers fans. Because I do wholeheartedly believe if some other pieces had stayed healthy, specifically Fred Warner and Nick Bosa was injured, I don't think it would have mattered. Excuse me. Sorry, I had to cough. But when Fred Warner got injured, that's when I was like, okay, season's done, right?
Uh-huh.
And what I'm about to say next is actually the first time that I'm going to say this since the 49ers have had Brock Purdy. With what I saw, the way he played down the stretch after he went back in this lineup after the Mac Jones thing, with what I saw from him, I am willing to say the 49ers are good enough with Brock Purdy to win the Super Bowl with this roster, as long as, like you said, Johnny, they stay healthy.
All right. I just got a text here from an a-hole. It's my buddy Matt Hale.
Okay. Okay.
He said, this is definitely not about football, but this, he says, John, what you said was a complete lie. That my man James Franklin hired a, y'all know, like, you know, he did terrible at Penn State, goes to the Hokies, and he hired, did you hear about the skydiver?
No.
And he crashed into the Jumbotron.
What?
You didn't hear about this? This can't, this has got to be real. Right? I mean, the BBC reported it. Oh, that's the British Broadcast Corporation, by the way. not the Bacardi banana colada that the guy tried to serve my wife at down in the islands.
Oh, this is real.
It is real.
Yeah, I got the video right here. Oh, my God. Why does he got the American flag with him? That doesn't help, sir. That's just extra wind you carrying.
Damn, dog.
He did that. crashed. Sorry, for the radio listeners. He hit that thing hard.
I told
hard,
you.
Like Shane McMahon style. Wow. Okay, I'm sorry. I digress.
Yeah, now I'm back to football. I'm sorry. I just had to do that. Because, like, by the way, how do you feel? Did you know that their spring game got delayed by, like, almost an hour and a half, over an hour and a half or something? Like, you're getting, the dude's like bringing the American flags, got the football. He's going to land on the 50, you know. And bro's hung upside down from the scoreboard.
You know what's crazy, Johnny?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. There's a little bit of lag. It actually looks really cool when he's coming down.
Oh, it does look great until the crash. Dude. Like, you know, like, imagine, like, if you're a runway model and you're working it, girl, and you're looking good, and you do your little turn, and then you fall off the runway, well, damn, it doesn't matter how good you looked. You didn't make it back. I didn't get to see that backside wiggle. So you failed. Anyway, I'm late for a break. I'm going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to get serious in a little bit of football. We got draft coming up. We got NFL movement. Don't touch the dial because I got Mo Schefter views from the 22 on Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Start your day with Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Weekday mornings from 7 to 10 right here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour with Johnny Radio. This hour brought to you by MemphisMoldInspector.com. Here once again is Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio, hanging out with my man Mo Schefter. Mo, first and foremost, it's always good to have you. That was a really quick break, and I appreciate that because I love the fact that I get to get back to you with a quickness and start talking a whole lot of football. Right now, you were talking about, you said something that you were going to mention about the Eagles and their move, and I was kind of curious where you were going with that.
I am glad you asked. I think Howie has earned...
He's earned
right.
a lot because, you a know, lot. He does have the name of, like, the best general manager.
Right. And I am certainly a fan. And when I saw the Dontavian Wicks trade, I said, okay, obviously this is not to replace A.J. Brown. Uh-uh. Obviously. However, and I'm going to say the statement this way just to make people say, WT, you know what? Dontavian Wicks sign-in is to replace Devontae Smith. Why do you say that, Mo? Because Devontae Smith right now is a wide receiver one playing a wide receiver two. So you put in D. Wicks as wide receiver two, you promote Devontae Smith to wide receiver one, and that's how you get the replacement of A.J. Brown. To me, when I look at some of the moves they're making, specifically this A.J. Brown thing, because you got to listen to what GMs say. Like, it's not in their, excuse me, getting over a cold. It's not in their blanket statements that they make. There's certain things called Freudian slips. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my brother, who's an attorney, who schooled me on Freudian slips. Howie had a few Freudian slips when talking about the A.J. Brown trade. And the one thing he kept saying was, we're not going to subtract from our football team. We're not going to subtract from our football team. Well, you're going to trade him post-June 1st. All reports indicate, it seems inevitable at this point, he's going to be traded post-June 1. You are not going to get a compensation for this upcoming season when you trade him post-June 1. Therefore, what I'm saying here is I think Howie is looking at this year as sort of a throwaway year. Not that they're going to tank, not that he doesn't want to win games and make the playoffs and the division and all that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying strictly from his business plan, not his football plan. His business plan this year is sort of a year of trial and error. Let's see what fits. Let's see who's here for the long term, including Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. I hope I'm not, like, rambling here.
No,
but what I'm
saying is
he's going to use this year as a quote-unquote throwaway year to reset and start building next year. And that's why they decided to trade A.J. Brown post-June 1. Which they will. I fully believe they
100%.
Will.
I mean, I feel like it's already a done deal to the Patriots. I mean, it's mm-hmm. more done than Diana Russini.
I mean, you know, shout out to her insider reporting.
Yeah. Mike Vrabel is definitely inside helping her out. What do you think the Eagles at 23 are looking for?
You know, first of all, I think what I'm looking for is Mike Vrabel's athletic subscription. That's first of all. Anyways, I'm sorry.
That was beautiful. I appreciate it. I'm just kind of worried, wondering what you think that they're going to look at it. You know, what is Howie looking at it since they're, what are they, 22 or 23 this year? I know they're in the 20s.
They are, I will have it up here right now. They are 23 after the Chargers, before the Browns.
I haven't gone that deep, like that far, and even thought about what the Eagles might be looking for.
Well, I mean, at 23, what's going to be available, right? Like, I think if they stay put at 23, the best available player is probably going to be an offensive tackle at that point. Just depends on how the board falls and if anybody is still there. But I think they're going to look at safety because they lost Blankenship. I think they're going to look at edge and linebacker. They lost N'Kobe Dean. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to look at tackles due to the situation with Lane Johnson. And he's just eventually going to be at the door. I also think, and I don't think they'll do this in the first round, but I do think they're going to heavily look into their guards. And I actually think their biggest weakness on that roster is the interior of their offensive line. So while it may not be best value, if you're going to stay at 23, you either take the BPA or you take the best thing for what you need. And what you need is somebody to solidify the interior offensive line.
If they could get a Blake
line.
Miller from – nah, because he's a tackle, isn't he? From Clemson.
Yeah, he's a tackle. I can't remember what his measurements are because there's plenty of tackles in college that are guards in the NFL.
True that. That's true.
You know what I mean? I do think this should go – and remember this also, we're talking about the Eagles – I have real concerns about the longevity of Landon Dickerson. Mm. And I've been vocal about this. This isn't hindsight. I talked about it on Happy Hour. I talked about it on Views and Views. I talked about it on the Views from the 22 Facebook group in real time during the season that Landon Dickerson should not be playing football right now, let alone you keep doing the tush push with him.
Yep.
That should and he now has a multitude of injuries, and speaking to one of the medical people I know, they're like, dude, these type of injuries, because he wasn't playing hurt. He was playing with a medical injury. Two totally different things. They truly have concern, and I respect their opinion, about whether they can last long term in this league after what he went through last year.
Damn.
And mind you, that. Johnny, how many guys do we say, damn, he's out of the league already? Damn, what happened to him? Things like this that go under the radar because teams abuse players. Like, we know this. Running backs especially. I will forever blame Jeff Fisher for the trajectory of Todd Gurley's career.
Mm. I agree with you on that one, too. God, dog, could he, coming out of Georgia, I thought he was going to be the next damn thing. One thing that's also weird, by the way, and I can't believe I'm bringing him up because they suck so bad, but, like, the Saints, do you, you know, they bring in more quarterback help, I guess? Like, do the Saints know what they're doing? They got Tyler Shook, Spencer Rattler, and Zach Wilson.
I think the Commanders and the Saints are in the best position in this, in the first round. Because you look at the first six, they're gonna work through a lot of muck. They're gonna work through a lot of muck. So when you get to the Commanders, they're gonna have a lot easier of a decision as to who they're gonna pick. And then you get to the Commanders, who are picking, the Saints, who are picking right after the Commanders. I know you're not gonna like this, but I looked at some of the mock drafts, and a lot of people are mentioning Cornell Tate, so they can reunite him with Chris Olave because they were college teammates. I don't know if I would like that pick. I think you have a lot more needs. I think you can still get a perennial pass rush. I think it's possible. It's possible Sonny Styles falls because the other teams are taking pass rushers and offensive tackles.
If Sonny Styles is available, or Reuben Bain at edge.
Like, and that was going to be the next name I mentioned. Reuben Bain could be available.
If those two are available, that's where the Saints got to jump and not even worry about it. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, you brought in Travis Etienne. Alvin Kamara's getting old. But, like, Tyler Shuck?
You know, so let me put aside my personal opinion for a second. Because I think it's hard to evaluate teams if you're going to stick to your own opinion of certain players. You can't evaluate teams that way. You got to evaluate their decisions, their moves, their game plan, their business plan. And I think if you look at the Saints, although I've been critical and although I am still doubtful, they've made good decisions. And they believe in Tyler Shuck, and we got to give Kellen more credit for what he did with Dak, what he did with Jalen Hurts, and now what he did with Tyler Shuck. So they're going to roll with Tyler Shuck. I am okay with the Saints saying he's our guy. Because if you're wrong, you're wrong. But at least you made a decision early on whether he's your guy or not, in my opinion. And so if all these good decisions would be ruined if you have Reuben Bain available and you take Cornell Tate over Reuben Bain.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yes, sir.
I love Ohio State wide receivers, but I still like the one Jeremiah Smith who's still there. That's the guy that I would. And Cornell Tate is not a one-trick pony, but again, he's running vertical, and I don't know if, like, I really don't know enough about Tyler Shuck and his deep ball. It didn't, like, I just wasn't impressed too much. Buffalo Bills, did they help out Josh Allen enough?
They already not helped him out by giving him an undersized Asian receiver and giving up a second-round pick for him.
Yeah, no.
So, you know, like, I have high hopes for Joe Brady, but I 100% thought the general manager should have been fired as well. And it is for moves like this. This was a bad football move. He got fleeced for DJ Moore. You know why, Johnny?
DJ Moore, yeah.
Because the Bears were going to cut DJ Moore.
Oh, my gosh. And they gave up that?
They gave up a second for a player that was going to be cut.
And by the way, he's what, 30 years old now?
He's 30 and he's undersized. I love DJ Moore.
6 feet tall, 30 years old, and you gave up your second round pick, man. You crazy as hell, Buffalo. And Keon Coleman, is he ever going to work out?
They better hope so. They better hope so, because you're not relying on DJ Moore to be the X. He's going to be the Z. He's going to be the slot. He's not going to be the X. Mm-hmm. He's not going to be the player that you want getting pressed and isolated. So they better hope Keon Coleman works out.
Lord have mercy. Tell everybody what you got coming down the pipe.
Mo_views22. We got some great draft content coming out, and I will be on the 94 Feet of Life Thursday show covering the draft.
Damn, Skippy, and I think I'm going to be there as well if I'm not doing a bunch of wires up in a little H&H, a little Harden house. Mo, do me a favor, man. Be blessed and enjoy the rest of your week, my friend.
Appreciate you, brother. Can't wait to hear Germ.
Dude, that is my man, Mo Schefter. We got Germ So True. On the other side, I'm going to talk a little football with Germ, tell you about my man, Stan Mosier, give you a little wood, and have a whole hell of a lot of fun on Sports 56 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.